Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and free downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. For today's show, I want to talk about something that I get asked quite a bit, and that is, if I were to do it over again, what would I do differently? How would I start a new roofing business? And I've been thinking about this because I've actually been working with a great guy that worked with me. He was a field supervisor, came up through the ranks, knows everything about roofing, and really knows how to build a great team, how to take care of his people. But a while back, he went out on his own, and he's doing a great job, but he's also learning how difficult it is to start a business and also grow a business when you're trying to do everything yourself. And particularly somebody that came up through the field, never really learned the business end of the business. So I've been helping him out because I really like the guy and been doing some mentoring and helping him when I can. But recently we've been talking about starting some kind of a partnership perhaps and getting out and doing it again. With that in mind, I was thinking, hey, this would be great. I could kind of document this as I go. Be great for the podcast, because also I've been working on an online course that I wanted to get out for our audience, which is called Zero to a Million in 1 Year. It's taking a company from nothing and getting them up to a profitable point where we're doing $1 million and getting this thing rolling and setting a business up the way you should. So I'm thinking, hey, maybe this would be a great idea. We can work together, build a business and scale it and see if I can do it without killing myself too much work because I've done it the hard way. So I'm going to try to do this the easy way. So I got some great ideas. Going to try those out, but love to get everybody's opinion and thoughts on this too. But I need to think this through very carefully. And that's going to be the basis of today's show. I'm just going to talk about it. We're going to put it together, see if it makes sense, see what we've got to do, the steps involved that I would take to build a business. So let's start off with basically take a look at my download, the one-page business plan. So you can start with that. And for those that haven't downloaded it, you can go to my website at theroofershow.com, pick that up. It's free. But it kind of gives you an idea of the thought process that goes into it, checking this out. So the first thing we always talk about is what I call the end, starting at the end. And what's the point of this? What the hell am I trying to do? And where do I want to end up? Well, I got a number of reasons why I would want to do this. One, need something to keep me busy, and this would be a great project. Two, it should make some great podcast information. And as I say, I'm building a little online course that's going to help people out on how to do this and the steps involved. But what I'm thinking, I want to see if I can do this. We would put together a partnership, which is always a problem. I've gone through that, didn't work out very well, but I would certainly do that differently. So we're going to talk about that, the steps that are involved. But I think what I would like to see is, one, is to scale this a bit, get this business up and going for my partner. Let's call him Tony. And I'd love to see Tony, he's a young guy, has a great family and so forth, build this thing up where he could really take off with this and build a business. So if we get this set up right, it could be pretty cool. And for me, I don't know, say 5 years down the road, I'd like to be able to maybe walk away, sell this all to Tony. And we'll talk about how to do that because we've got to come up with an idea of how to set that up now before we get into it. And this is where the mistake so many contractors make when they're starting a partnership is you got to have your crap together, okay? Because just like a marriage, hey, down the road, man, it may not last 5 years, or we may have problems, or we could create a valuable business and nobody can agree on the price or this or that. So we're going to get into a little of that. I'm just going to kind of blow through most of this stuff because the way I think, my thought process is when I talk things through, becomes a little clearer. And that's what this exercise is for me. And also, it's kind of give my thoughts out there to you about how to set up a business, some of the things you may not have thought about, and how to make it a little easier because that is my main goal. I wouldn't consider myself an expert when it comes to roofing, that's for sure. But when it comes to business, I do clearly consider myself an expert on building a business. But I've talked about this before. It doesn't matter if it's a shoe stand or what it is. Business is pretty much similar. And the advantage that I've got is I've got somebody that I can trust that I know has the experience and the knowledge on the production end, where this would make a good partnership, because there's got to be a reason for a good partnership, and having complementary skills is always one of them, or having a guy that has a shitload of cash. That's another good reason to partner up, because you're going to need a lot of cash, and most companies are undercapitalized, and that's a real problem. So we got to think about that. Something else you can underestimate when you're starting a business is all the little details. I mean, just coming up with a logo, your colors, your stationery, to your proposal system, how you're going to do these things, getting your contracts, all of these. There's hundreds of little items, and these are things that are really going to take your time. And when we're starting off a business, the only thing that matters is selling, getting out there and selling work. And these kind of details can really screw you up. And because nothing happens until somebody sells something, and I'm going to be responsible for the sale, so I don't want to get dragged down on all these little details, because details are not my thing. I'm a much better big picture guy, and I realize that. You got to realize your strengths and weaknesses. So I'm going to call up one of my old resources, which is someone that used to work with me. It was great. Ran a lot of my office, and is great with details. We work really well together, so I'm going to call in a favor, which always reminds you to be nice to the people on the way up, because you may see him on the way back down or around another way. I'm going to bring this in, and we're going to get this set up. But that's something, and I'm not going to get into all the details, but that's something that is a real time suck that you got to consider. I'm not going to worry about that. But the first thing was starting at the end. Why are we doing this? How are we going to get this set up? Just for simplicity, let's say I'm going to go on to LegalZoom and I'm going to set up an LLC, because we've got to be incorporated. We could do a sub S, we could do an LLC, C Corp, but you want to have a good accountant and a good attorney to set this up. Partnership agreements. Obviously, we need to get that set up, how this thing is going to go, because my intention is to sell this down the road. So we want to cover that now. What happens if somebody dies? We got to get our insurance policies, our key man, put together, all of these little things. And I've talked about these in the podcast before, but these are important things to get it set up, because I don't want to have any problems down the road. I like to have things crystal clear. So we know our goal. I know where I want to be. I know where I'm going. And let's just say for simplicity, 5 years from now, we're going to be at a $5 million company. It's going to be very profitable. We're going to have the systems and processes in place where that's easy for me to step aside, bring somebody in to replace this position, build a small, you know, bring in a couple of salespeople. I know where I'm going to go. I know where I want to end up. So we're going to come back and reverse engineer a roadmap to get us there. First thing is we've got to start off. And again, on the business plan, after the end is the customer. We got to focus on what is it, number one, what is it that we're going to do? And for this company, and as I say, if I were to do it again, what I would do, I would focus in on repair and maintenance of existing roofs. No new construction, no residential. I'm not going to get into re-roofing because that takes a lot of equipment, a lot of capital, a lot of people, low margin stuff where, you know, we're starting off. It's not going to be easy. So what I'm going to focus on is this just really niche down on existing roofs, repair and maintenance, build maintenance contracts. So we've got reoccurring income. Focus down on two or three coating systems. We're already approved for them. We can get the warranties and the guarantees. So we're really going to take a look at that because that's where the majority of the sales are going to come from. I'm going to identify my ideal customer, which, you know, talked about this before in the podcast, but basically we're looking for primarily multiple building owners that are owners and investors, people that are interested in keeping their roofs up, interested in talking about maintenance, all in the commercial, warehousing, industrial, this type of work. So we're going to focus down on that. What's going to make us different? How are we going to differentiate ourselves? Well, that's where we're going to talk about the idea of maintenance and how we can extend the life of these roofs. Another reason I want to get into this is personally, I think the market is starting to turn a little bit. Once things get tight, everybody starts dropping their prices and their margins and stuff. I don't want to get into that. I want to stay on high margin work where we don't have to do a lot of volume, but we have very, very high margins. And that's about selling. We're not going out there bidding work. You know, this work's going to be sold and it's going to be sold at a high margin. And at $1 million in sales at high margins, a couple of guys can do pretty well. We can build a business and we do it without a lot of capital costs, without a lot of employees, without a lot of headaches. So that's the plan. Next, we got to take a look at our operation. And this is what I call the three-legged stool. I've talked about this before, but you've got to sell work, you've got to do work, and you've got to keep score. And those are the three legs of our stool. We got to keep that strong and solid to have a good business. So starting off with selling work, as I said before, nothing happens until somebody sells something. So we have to get that set up and put our systems and processes into place. Because it's not going to be easy selling $1 million of maintenance work. That's a lot of jobs. So I've got to have somebody in here to help me. I have to define the process, how it's going to work, and I've got to get this person up and trained quickly where they're going to be able to help me and do the job. And the first thing I'm going to do is get somebody in here to answer that phone because we're going to pay a lot of money to have people calling in. And so that first impression is critical. And that's where I use Ruby Receptionists. They're an outsourced virtual receptionist. Love those guys. They're also one of the sponsors of the show, but you've heard me talk about them before. They do a great job. You've got to have somebody that's professional, that's friendly. It's going to leave a great first impression. They're going to get the information that we need. So just as a plug for them, you can check them out at callruby.com/roofershow. And I've got a promo on there where you can save $50 on the first service. But I want to have them qualify the calls, make sure we're only dealing with our ideal prospects. The next is I've got to have a kick-ass website, not just a static brochure, but a website that converts visitors that are going to come by and check us out. And we're going to have that convert into bringing us leads in because that's all that matters. And this has got to be a professional website, so I'm bringing in a pro that knows how to do this. I'm not having the kid down the street to handle this, try to save some money. But I know what it is that I'm looking for. I'm going to work with them and produce a website that works. And we've talked about this in the podcast a number of times, and we know what that is. But we get that set up, and we're ready to go. All right, so I've got our website set up. Now, where are our first customers going to come from? Well, we're going to start off with low-hanging fruit, which is anybody that knows, likes, and trusts us. Okay, these are people that have used us before, that know who we are. We're going to go back through our old contacts, our old customers, all the people that we've dealt with before. And this has got to have a database to enter all this information in. So we've got to start with a CRM program. Nothing fancy. We're going to do it really easily. This would be the equivalent of a legal pad and a pen. But we got to get that information captured, and we've got to get them in our system. We want to be sending them regular information, regular helpful information that might be a newsletter or something like this, but we got to keep in touch, and we've got to grow this list because the money's in the list. Also, anybody we've worked with before, we want to ask them for a testimonial. We want to ask them for reviews. And yeah, technically it's a bit of a stretch, but building those reviews, we want to get those testimonials so we can put them on our website and make us look like we've been doing business here for the last 20 years. Now let's take a look at the numbers, because that's what it's all about. Is this going to be possible? Let's just take one way. There's a number of ways to do it, but let's start with, say we got to do $1 million this year. Well, if we divide that by 12 months, that's going to give us, what, 80 grand or so. But we know we're going to have rain. We're going to have months that we can't work, so forth. So we got to kind of balance out for that, because some of these months are going to have to be pretty huge. We're going to make sure we have the guys and the ability to do those big months. And then what are they going to do when it's raining? So we want to build up a repair division where we're just doing emergency repairs in the rain. That's what we did in our business. We had a lot of guys on rain days out there working. So we're going to do the same thing. But again, just for simplicity, we got to come up with our average job size. So what's your average job size going to be? Let's just take, say we got to do 80 grand a month. Well, if we take 20,000 a week, which is what it would be, can one crew do 20,000 a week? Now we probably need two crews, right? So that's going to be two crews have to sell a $10,000 job, or has to produce a $10,000 job every week. We're going to have two of those, and that's got to be consistent over the year. So some months we're going to have to do more, some less. Could I ask, can we do that or not? Now, again, for simplicity, let's say we can do that. Okay, we got eight jobs that we have to produce, sell and produce every month. So if we're going to sell, let's say, one out of three deals, because we're going to keep our prices really high. If we get 50% of our jobs, our price is probably too low. So that's how I'm going to look at it. So that means we're going to sell one out of three of these jobs. We got eight jobs. We're going to have to do 24 estimates. Okay, we're going to put out 24 proposals to get eight of those jobs every month. Then we have to ask, how many leads do we need? Because all of those leads are not going to turn into proposals. Some are going to be not a good fit for us, or they're going to be smaller jobs or something that we may not be interested in. So we got to look at the number that we've got to shoot for those 24 actual proposals. So let's say we got, I don't know, maybe 35 leads that we have to get that come in the door that we think are people that are interested in buying our stuff and that are fall into our ideal prospects. So how are we going to get those? Well, it's something we're going to have to decide, and it'll probably be a combination of ways, but we're going to have to pay for that. And there's going to be costs involved for marketing and bringing in these leads. Again, we're going to go to our experts and see what they have to say and best way to get these leads from commercial building owners. But we're going to have to pay for them. So again, that's why we need to have startup capital. Not have some cash, because we're going to need to pay for this, get the lead flow coming in before we really start making any money. Okay, we've now got a consistent lead flow. We've got consistent sales that we can count on. And our first leg of our stool is rock solid. Now, we got to come into doing the work, our second leg. And that's where Tony comes in. He's in charge of that. We got our process down. make sure that we've got our people, we're taking care of these guys, we're constantly recruiting, we're constantly training, and we're constantly retaining. We've got to have our good guys here ready to go. We're going to follow a process, we're going to develop that, and we're going to do the same thing each and every time. Sell the job, hand it off to production, get the budgets together, agree that we've got enough time, enough materials for the job to go out and do it. We sign it off, go out and do it, make a ton of money. It's all good, and we go out and do it again. So that's more of coming up with the process, writing it down. It's like a checklist. Do the same thing every time. Our third leg, our keeping score leg, or accounting, or bookkeeping. Well, this is something that we can really get bogged down in. And I see so many contractors, this is where the stool falls down, is that third leg. They either bring somebody in, a lot of times it's wife or husband or friend, whatever, but they may not be qualified and they're just in there helping out rather than having somebody that really knows bookkeeping. And you've got to have solid bookkeeping to run a good business. And this is where I outsource this. It's a tough position to fill. There's always seems to be a lot of turnover. So I've got a guy that I've talked about on the show. He's been on the podcast. And so I outsource my bookkeeping. And that's a great way to go. I really recommend that. That's really worked well for a lot of contractors. So I'm not going to get into that too much. We're going to track all this. We're going to have our numbers. We're going to have our key performance indicators that we're going to keep an eye on. And those are the reports that are going to be generated, the information that I need to run this to make sure we're on track, make sure we've got cash coming in, make sure our bills are getting out, we're collecting our money, because we've got to have a strong cash flow to make this thing work. And speaking of numbers, before we do any of this, obviously, we've got to take a look at our costs. We've got to put together an operating budget, so we've got to take a look at our overhead. What kind of costs are we looking at? Make sure everything's in there that we are covered. We take a conservative approach because crap always goes wrong and we got to make sure we're covered for that. But before I would jump into this, we got to make sure that it's going to work, that we can make the margin that we need, make sure it doesn't get eaten up in overhead. We don't have a lot of overhead, but we've got marketing costs and we've got outsourcing and we've got all of this. We've got you know, our salaries, all of this goes into the overhead. We want to push everything above the line as much as we can. Should be all direct costs. And we get down to the overhead, the fixed cost, the nut, and hopefully that's a pretty low number. And we put it all together, see what we end up with, and hopefully it's a ton of money. So that's kind of the program. I know that it's been left a lot out. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a look at this, see if it makes sense, and see if it's worth the effort to do it. And I'll be reporting back in the podcasts ahead. But I really appreciate everybody listening. If you get a chance, leave me a review on iTunes. Just go down to the big button on the bottom of the show notes. Click that. It'll walk you through it. Just take you a few minutes, but that's always much appreciated. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.